We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just coming in, staying humbled and just trusting myself, believing myself in the whole process, just handling things the right way, and being myself, not trying to be different. And, of course, it worked in my favor. And just being a hard worker is the main thing. And being a great teammate, great person, great leader.
AJ Terrell talking about his attributes. This is what Draft Network says. Welcome back to the morning show. Day after round one of the NFL Draft with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Draft Network says, AJ Terrell, long, rangy, and fluid, with good eye discipline to bait throws, also finds considerable success in soft press coverage, extremely sticky, crowding routes in the quick game, does need to add to play strength to become more consistent as a tackler, but projects as a scheme versatile starter with an overall exciting ceiling.
A scheme versatile starter. Gotcha.
So that's what Draft Network says about him. Pros and cons. He's good in press coverage. He is 6'1". He has long arms. He questions about his tackling, and they say he can get. And this is the one of the things that a lot of fans stuck on last night when they were talking on the TV about how he was a bit handsy, and they went, "Oh no."
you know, it's funny, and people stuck with that when they said it on the draft. That was like people were saying that like they had analyzed it and saw it themselves before it was actually said on television, and I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, everybody comes in with a grade, and everything is negative. So, well, not everything is negative, but some things are negative about the players. I mean, and you got to understand that these are college athletes. They're going to come into pros, and they're going to have to learn. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But the guy has athleticism, and they feel like they could teach him. And I think that's the biggest thing that people have to realize.
Right, exactly. I mean, and again, Raheem Morris had a game plan too, so he had a hand in all of this as well. Your reaction, 404-741-0929. We go to KB with John and Hugh. Hey, KB. Oh, we lost KB. Jamal. Jamal's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Jamal.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
It's going good, man. I think last night we definitely needed a cornerback. I think we took the wrong one. I think we should have got Fortson out of LSU. He was up against a lot better defenses coming out of the SEC. I don't think that guy, AJ, has proven himself coming out of the ACC. And if you look at him in that national championship game, I mean, shit, they put up over 200 yards.
All right.
Yeah, that's one of the knocks, is that the last impression was that LSU.
He got toasted a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got toasted a little bit.
Jamar Chase and company kind of burned him a little bit. But again, there are things about that, too, we don't know. We don't know what the coverage pattern was for Dabo Swinney. And we'll talk with the coach, by the way, with Dabo Swinney at 9:20 this morning. He'll be live on our program, and we'll see. But, again, how you're going to utilize a guy is different. As Falcons may use him in a different way than Clemson did. And for the most part, the Falcons have had kind of mixed results on Clemson guys, but boy, they seem to draft a lot of guys from Clemson, an awful lot, especially on the defensive side of the football. 404-741-0929. Jim is with John and Hugh. We're reacting to AJ Terrell being a Falcon. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm disappointed. Once Henderson and Kinlaw weren't there, I think the Falcons should have traded back 5 to 10 spots. They still could have gotten Terrell. I'm just glad that Demetrioff didn't mortgage the next year's draft because he's probably not going to be there after this draft if he doesn't turn things around. Last year, trading up and get Caleb McGarry was a dumb bonehead move. I'm just glad he didn't make one last night.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we know yet, Hugh, you know, about Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry? I mean, have we, has that been determined?
We don't. I mean, you know, we don't. I mean, and that's the honest answer. We don't. I mean, we're speculating that these guys can't play, and we haven't really given them an opportunity to go out there and show what they can do. So I would say that honestly is not a fair assessment at this point in their careers. But, I mean, hey, people feel the way that they feel, John. I mean, we know that. I mean, we've seen that, and we know that to be true. People are going to feel some kind of way about this draft, regardless of if they did get the guy that they wanted. People are still going to feel some kind of way about it.
You know, and I know some fans are going, why didn't you trade up? You have to have a trading partner, A, and B, we don't know what they would have been asking for. And the same is really kind of true trading down, Hugh. You have to have somebody who's willing to give you something. I mean, just be.
You got to have, if you want to dance, you got to have somebody to dance with. You just can't be out there dancing by yourself. No.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. So, you know, there's that. And so it's one of those things where, you know, I think in this situation, regardless, nobody was going to be happy with whatever the Falcons decided to do, to be totally honest. It was a catch-22, regardless of how you want to, you know, look at that. It was a bad spot for them to be in.
404-741-0929. If you want to weigh in on the Falcons, we're taking your calls this morning, reacting to the first round and what you expect now in round two. Kelly joins us with John and Hugh. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I had a question for Hugh, and you may have already answered this, but, you know, I know we needed a cornerback, and, you know, this guy could turn out to be all pro. Who knows? But, Hugh, in your expert opinion, do you think that was the very best pick that we could have got on the board? For a cornerback,
I think that, like, this is the tough spot about it. Like, when you're talking about drafting, like, a number one draft pick and getting some of the guys that we felt that were a need at that position, I think that for where we were at, to draft anybody outside of him would have probably been a reach, to be totally honest. I know that's not the answer that you want, but in a perfect world, you know, if you could have moved up a little bit to get Javon Kinlaw, that probably would have been one of those draft picks that people would have felt better about. But I think that the position that the Falcons were in, they did the best that they could under the circumstances, because it feels to me like they couldn't trade out of that spot, and they couldn't find anybody to trade up to that spot. So they did the best they could under the circumstances.
We go to Ryan. Ryan's reacting to AJ Terrell. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. The corner pick was a good pick, honestly, but I think they should have gone more edge, to be honest. They can find that corner later on in that second or third round pick that's still really good out there, but they really need an edge. But, Hugh, got a question for you. Do you think Love was the right pick for the Packers for that first round?
You know what? I think when you look at what first round draft picks are usually are, in situations like this, I would say that was a little bit of a reach, because now it puts your quarterback in an odd spot, just like I talked about this morning. They put him in an odd spot. But they were drafting for the future, and another thing, they were probably looking at him as a guy that they didn't really see anything that they needed there. The Packers got a pretty good defense. They got some good offensive weapons. They probably looked at it as a position where, you know, you could groom a guy for a couple of years before Aaron Rodgers actually retires.
And there's something to be said for backup quarterbacks, too. I mean, as you're grooming them in this day and age of the NFL, I'm not saying that I expect that Aaron Rodgers would get hurt or anything like that, but the Packers have designs on playing in a Super Bowl again this year, and, you know, the last thing you want to do is just be stuck with a guy that can't move your team forward if you're in that position. Look at New Orleans last year with Teddy Bridgewater. And so, you know, that's always something you have to kind of consider, too. And maybe you just can't pass up on the guy because Jordan Love, there are a lot of people that really think Jordan Love is going to be a good quarterback. Scott is on with us. Scott, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I think the pick was a good one for a first round. You know, how many people come into the NFL all pro ready to go straight out of college? Not many people. So, I mean, just put faith in our coach and, you know, and the people around him and, you know, coach him up and see how he does.
I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And I think that's probably, like, to be honest, that's probably part of the problem. A lot of people feel like, you know, over the last couple of seasons, the Falcons have fell short. I mean, as a matter of fact, I know that's how they feel. They feel like they fell short, and they feel like, you know, that, you know, things haven't gone the way that they should have gone with the talent that we have. So that's a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow.
Back to the Draft Network and its analysis pre-draft of A.J. Terrell, they say he is comparable to Drake or Patrick. I mean, we're not – I think there's an assumption here, Hugh, that you just took a guy that's not very good. We don't know that he isn't going to be really good. That's
well,
the problem.
John, that's because he's not the name that we've been – that's been beat into our head over the last couple of months. That's part of the problem. I honestly believe that. I think that we've gotten so point – like, listen, I'm part of that too because I – like, looking at this team and looking at – what I feel that they need pass rush. But that's not to say that they're not going to get that in the later rounds today. That's not to say that they're not going to address those needs. But it's the thing, when we hear it and it doesn't get addressed immediately, we all have that knee-jerk reaction.
Rico's on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Rico. How do you view what the Atlanta Falcons have done so far and looking forward?
Morning, fellas. I agree with Hugh when he said at the position that we were at, that was the best pick. I mean, if we would have got anybody else, yeah, we would have been reaching. I mean, the knock on this kid is the last time we saw him was at the national title game, and he's a little grabby. But, I mean, that was just one game, man, and the whole – everybody's saying he's a bust already. He hasn't even played one snap. I mean, it's hard to please everybody. I get it. But, I mean, I'm optimistic about this kid. He's shown he's got talent, and this is where Quinn and his guys own his money and coach him up.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Rico. Chance to get one more in here before the break. Mike joins John and Hugh. We're just taking reaction, kind of flash reaction to the Falcons and A.J. Terrell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I hope I can get my points in real quick. First of all, scheme is more important than people think. You know, Raheem Morris, I heard this on the radio the other day. His strengths are, if he has a strong corner, his scheme works well. And you know, scheme as far as Keanu Neal in 2016, we were getting blasted for that. I mean, look how well he's turned out. You know, nobody knew who he was. He wasn't the sexy name, you know, barring his injuries. I understand that, but look how well he's done for us. And, you know, we shouldn't get beat up on if Dimitrov tries to trade up and can't. I mean, I see cars all the time I want to buy, but I can't buy them. I mean, it's not his fault. And if he would have had to give two or three picks, and we'll say we got Kinlaw, and then we lose picks. Now we're getting two or three players in the place of Kinlaw, and I'd rather have two good players than one great player, honestly.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, and the book is not written on this young man yet, and I think that's the thing that people need to understand. I understand that, you know, we're fans, and we get excited, and we get upset when things don't go the way that we feel that they should have went, but – the book hasn't been written on this young man yet. Hasn't played it down. Hasn't even picked out a jersey. And we already know but what he's going to be. I don't think that's fair. I mean, to be totally honest, I don't think that's a fair assessment. And I don't think that's how he should be judged right now. Give him a chance. Give the young man a chance and see what he can do.
One thing true about A.J. Terrell, ball hawker. Now you got another ball hawker out there with Devontae Casey. Maybe it'll be a ball hawking secondary for the Atlanta Falcons this year when you're going up against quarterbacks. They're going up against Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers, live at 9:20 with John and Hugh, reacting to the NFL Draft, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We invite you to stay connected. John and Hugh reminding you that you can listen to 92.9 The Game at home or on your smart device, any smart device, by downloading the app. Go to the App Store. Super simple. Get radio.com. Download the free radio.com app, and you can listen to us anytime, any place. More information, radio.com/stay connected. More of your reaction and NFL headlines after day one of the draft. Next, with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Coming back, I had great coaches, and we were going to work really, really hard to do it. But to jump up to number one overall is crazy to me. But it's a dream come true.
On the National Football League, round one of the NFL draft, Joe Burrow goes number one overall. Trey Wingo slamming my Huskers last night and Scott Frost for not taking Joe Burrow and Lincoln when he wanted to go there. All right, whatever. But I'm not sure anybody knew Joe Burrow was going to end up as the Heisman winner and the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. I don't think even Ohio State realized that, because Joe Burrow basically said when he was at Ohio State, hey, I want to be the starter. And they said, yeah, you know, not so much. You're not the starter. We're going to go with Haskins here. So
well, he got hurt. Didn't he get hurt? I thought he got hurt at Ohio State before all of that happened. And that's one of the main reasons why he didn't get a nod for the starting job. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and he won it. Well, it's possible. I'm not going to say that's possible. Anyway, he didn't. You know, I know he wanted to be the starter there, and when he wasn't named the starter, he kind of said, "Okay, well, I'm going to look for somewhere else." He ended up Hugh at LSU in a perfect position for him as the number one pick going to Cincinnati. We know that it's going to be tough on him at Cincinnati because the Bengals are, well, they're the Bengals. And he's already talked to guys like Peyton Manning about what it's like to be a rookie in the NFL, and especially a rookie quarterback. Going to be a lot on his shoulders. And if I think it's one of those cases, Hugh, where if you could kind of survive the first season or two, then you're usually okay.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. No question about that. You know, the learning curve for him and everything like that. But he seems like a young man that's pretty resilient. You know, he's a tough guy. Seems like a tough guy. He's going to be challenged. No question about that. I think he's ready for it, though. I think that he understands that, you know, he's going to rise to the occasion.
Just looking at some of the other storylines here, let's look at the NFC South, what happened last night. Falcons get A.J. Terrell, cornerback, out of Clemson in a division where they could use extra help in their secondary. Now you have Terrell, you have Isaiah Oliver, as we've been talking about, with Kendall Sheffield, Bleedy Ray Wilson, kind of your cornerback crew. Safeties include Devontae Casey, Rico Allen, we assume and hope that Keanu Neal is back to 100%. You have a lot of talent in that secondary, and they're going to need every ounce of it, and they're going to need Keanu to stay healthy this season, because they're really going to need him in this division. Carolina, in addition to everything else, they went with Derek Brown with the 7th pick. I think a lot of people thought that they might go with Isaiah Simmons, but Derek Brown goes to Carolina, and he is a Hugh, you know that I know he didn't have a great combine. I get that, but I love Derek Brown as a player.
Big dude, man. I mean, big dude. You're talking about somebody, a space eater. Definitely a space eater, somebody that can move the crowd, somebody that they're going to be looking to, you know, to be that guy that's going to give some offensive linemen some fits. You know, it's going to be that guy that's going to be, you know, asked to take up 2 and 3 spaces when it comes to, you know, blocking or getting after somebody. You know, guard, center, got to have to double team that guy.
And Derek Brown, part of that Atlanta contingent with, you know, Westlake's A.J. Terrell. And, of course, Derek Brown out of Sugar Hill went to Lanier High and Pace Academy and Lithonia's, we're talking about Thomas, of course, as he goes to a number 4 pick overall, by the way, to the New York Giants. Back to the division here. Tampa Bay, I'm sure, Hugh, I'm still trying to figure out this Tampa Bay. So San Francisco's at 13 and Tampa's at 14 and Tampa trades up one spot and then selects and moves up one spot to select Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle out of Iowa. Would he have not been there at 14?
John, I do not know. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, it was a little odd, no question about that. But, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what the New York Giants were thinking in that situation.
All right, so Tampa Bay gets Tristan Wirfs with the 13th pick overall and offensive tackle to protect Tom Brady. And then the Saints selected Michigan center Cesar Ruiz with the 24th overall pick, a move that a lot of the, if you read this morning, some of the grades here, a lot of experts or draft nicks, however you want to look at them, kind of scratching their head a little bit, trying to figure out why Cesar Ruiz was taken by the New Orleans Saints, because they had other positions of need, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But we'll see what the Saints do today. One other quick NFL note before we start to peek ahead a little bit. There was much made about a lot of free agents in the NFL and whether they would be traded for the opportunity to have another first-round pick. One of those was Yannick Ngakoue, who there was a lot of chatter about the stud defensive end, defensive outside linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, ending up with the Raiders and John Gruden, and that those two were trying to work out a deal. It didn't happen. And now for all the chatter, remember, Ngakoue got into a heated fight with Tony Khan, the son of Shad Khan, and, you know, calling him names and everything else on Twitter. Now the GM, Dave Caldwell, is saying, well, we couldn't work out a trade for Ngakoue, and I guess he's going to be back, and we welcome him back with open arms. How's that going to work, you?
Oh, he's going to be upset, and that's what you say in a situation like this. And you allow Yannick Ngakoue to basically, you know, set himself on fire, if that's what he's going to do, you know? I mean, I think that's when, in situations like this, you have to be a little bit more tactful, and you have to, you know, play the game. And I think the best thing for him to do in this situation is play the game. And it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be able to do that, John. I mean, because bottom line, they probably didn't get what they wanted for him. I mean, because Tony Khan kind of alluded to that, you know, trying to get compensation for him at that position. So it's going to be one of those things where Yannick Ngakoue is going to have to play the game. And he's going to have to go out there. He's going to have to suck it up. He's not going to be happy. And he's just basically going to have to go out there and do the best that he possibly can under the circumstances.
We are talking about the NFL draft and about the Falcons. A.J. Terrell, cornerback from Clemson, becomes the latest Clemson player selected by Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn. In a long list of Clemson defenders that have been selected by the two, Malachi Goodman, Vic Beasley, Grady Jarrett. I mean, they've gone heavy into Clemson defenders over the years. A.J. Terrell will be live with Dukes and Bell at 2:20 this afternoon. 2:20 this afternoon, the number one pick of the Atlanta Falcons, A.J. Terrell, live with Dukes and Bell. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney live at 9:20 this morning with Hugh and I. We'll talk with the coach about A.J. Terrell as we look at the NFL draft. Okay, so today is round two. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight when John Chuckery gets on the air. This evening he'll be looking at round two and updating you on what may take place. And a lot of big names still on the board, at least in terms of name value. And we all understand that, you know, some of the guys that were round one graded and they just slipped to today. We mentioned running backs like DeAndre Swift is still on the board. J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State. Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. Cam Akers out of Florida State. But to your point here, Hugh, about what the Falcons might be looking at. Don't know how far they're going to slide today. Falcons right there in the middle of the draft at 47 today. A.J. Abanessa, Yetur Gross-Matos, another defensive back, Grant Delpit, big, highly touted safety out of LSU. Antoine Winfield, highly touted safety out of Minnesota. If you want to go back into the secondary, Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' cousin out of Alabama, another secondary guy. And then the rush ends like Bradley and I out of Utah, and defensive tackles like Raekwon Davis out of Alabama. Somebody there is going to be where the Falcons are at 47 to be able to fill another one of those needs on defense, no question.
Yeah, and you're probably looking at maybe D-tackle. You know, I'm just looking at some of the names of the available players. You know, this is a young man, Ross Blaylock, played D-tackle from TCU. A couple other names, defensive end. You're talking about Iowa, A.J. Epinesa. Yetur Gross-Matos is still out there. Maybe they might go outside linebacker and get Zach Bond from Wisconsin. Isn't that the young man that I think he has some questionable things about, you know, his test? But, you know, there's some opportunities out there. I know it's not going to be the names that guys are used to hearing. Marlon Davis, another guy from Auburn. But you're looking at – I think that the best way to look at this fan base is look at it collectively and not look at the person as an individual playing in a bad game that they had or whatever. Look at them as a group of guys and how the Falcons might be looking at a complimentary player to go along with a Tack McKinley or go along with a Grady Jarrett that would fit well in the scheme and do some of the things that they need them to do schematically. So there's still some opportunities out there. So I would say this. It's only the first pick. It's probably not the pick that you wanted, but this draft is still fluid and you still are in position to get some pretty good guys.
And certainly the quarterback's still available. Jake Fromm is there. Jacob Eason's still there. Jalen Hurts is still available among the laundry list of quarterbacks and running backs that are still available in this draft here. And it is long, so don't kid yourself. Second and third rounds today. Falcons will get two picks today, and we'll see if they can address more than one position here and how heavy they go defensively. And it's going to be a case where, again, I want to stress this. I know that there's a lot of angst on Twitter after last night. If they had taken, you know, Caleb Von Chase on, there might have still been angst, you know, oh, you know, he's a project, you know, what's going to happen with that rush end spot? You know, we could have gotten the same in round two with a Gross-Matos or with an eye. Well, here's your opportunity to do that. So, again, when we're talking about A.J. Terrell, a lot of people had him right there as the number three corner, and there were some of you may have heard who said they had him on a par with C.J. Henderson of Florida. It was like one or the other. So we tied for number two cornerback available in the draft behind Jeff Okuda. So just saying. Not trying to defend the Falcons. I'm just giving you some stats out there. Next up, our pick six segment. Abe, the producer, will jump in. He's got what he says, and we'll have to respond to that. The three best and the three worst picks from last night. We'll see if we agree with that. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dabo Swinney, Clemson coach at 9:20. A.J. Terrell, Falcons first pick at 2:20 live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and streaming at radio.com. Game.
With the 14th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pick 6 segment. Abe, the producer, has his three best and three worst picks of the first round. This is his opinion of the three best and three worst picks of the opening round. As we break down round one, round two tonight starts at 7 o'clock. So during John Chuckery's show this evening, late tonight, the Falcons will be selecting rounds two and three are tonight on this Friday night. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Abe is here with pick 6. Hey, Abe. All right. So you got your best and worst. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I got three best and three worst, and kind of a mismatch of picks that upset me and picks that I felt made the most sense and picks that I just thought there was good value. So whichever side of that you guys want to start with, you can flip-flop all the way you want, best or worst. Feel free to throw a couple out there. You know, obviously I got 6 of 32, so you'll eventually get them by default. But go ahead, Hugh. Let me know who you're thinking maybe I have as a best or a worst draft pick.
I would say the best pick has to be Chase Young because that was a no-brainer. That's a guy that is, you know, potentially a Hall of Fame player. So I would say Chase Young.
Yeah, I kind of went away from the obvious picks of Tua and Burrow and because I think they were obvious. I don't think there was anything special about those picks. Yes, they're getting a good player. But I think that's kind of a no-brainer pick. So I kind of went a slightly different direction. I mean, there's no question what you're talking about. Hugh is, boy, he may be the safest pick in the last 5 or 6 drafts. I mean, that's what a lot of people are thinking. So certainly understand why you throw that name out there, but not kind of how my mind was working when I came up with the best draft picks.
Okay.
Well, then I'll go with what we just heard. I mean, I was surprised after the trade between Tampa and San Francisco that San Francisco went Kinlaw. As a matter of fact, just before I do this, maybe I'm the only one, Hugh and Abe, who said, really, Kyle Shanahan's going to do that to us? I was surprised they took Kinlaw. I'm not saying it isn't one of the best picks, but I was just a little surprised. So I'm going to say that Kinlaw is one of the best.
I went the exact opposite. I got Kinlaw as one of the worst.
Okay.
For a multitude of reasons. On a personal level, it was a really tough situation because I was texting with you guys and we're trying to build and we're like okay, well, we know this guy's going receiver, we know that Tampa's gonna go offensive, and then we're trying to play it out and I'm like, surely San Francisco doesn't need a pass rusher, not when they have Bosa and not when they've got other needs. Look, here's why I think it was a really bad pick. You've got a young quarterback, relatively young quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that's got no help. I mean, no help. You've got one of the two or three best tight ends in the game, but what do you have at receiver? And with all those receivers on the board, you go for a position I felt you didn't need. And yes, it would have been ideal for the Falcons, and that's why part of this is a personal thing of this being a bad pick. But man, if I'm on that offense and I'm Jimmy Garoppolo and I see what we have on offense, and if George Kittle gets injured, we have nothing, and we don't take one of the top two or three receivers available in this draft.
You're feeling some kind of way.
That's a bad pick.
You're feeling some kind
of way.
That's
a bad pick. And so, yeah, I think it didn't address a need, in my opinion, and also it messed up the Falcons. So I got Javon Kinlaw as one of the worst picks of the draft.
You know what? I would say to that is to the fact that One of the things that we said about the San Francisco 49ers last year was the fact that their defense traveled extremely well. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they traded away their D tackle, right? To
Buckner?
Yeah. They traded
him
away.
To the Colts, right? Is that right?
I think so.
Colt? May not be Colts. So, somewhere.
So,
yes,
so basically, you went out and you got a young guy to bolster, you know, to replace him. And you're still in a position where, you know, they're like, it's the first pick, no question, and you're still in position to go get some weapons. But back to my point, defensively, to have that defense that could travel well and can stymie a lot of teams, that's what they were doing. They're basically keeping their defense bolstered.
And they did, by the way, go out and get they traded back into the first round to get a wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. So they got one of the better wide receivers. So I mean, San Francisco got not only Kinlaw, they got Ayuk. So they, you know, I mean, this is a, you know, team that did, you know, by, you know, some margin, you know, addressing, you know, concerns with two first-round picks. I'm going to say that you think that Jordan Love is one of the worst picks. Abe?
Yeah, this goes back to what I discussed at the start of the morning menu is I felt it was a great pick, and then I started to rethink how good of a pick it was based on the need. And so I actually had originally put it in my best pick category because I thought it was a great idea. Then I put it in my worst pick category because I'm like, why didn't they go receiver? They need something to help out, a 13-3 team that is running a little low on offense. And then I just took it off both lists. So it actually was on both lists for a while before it it got taken off.
So are we with the best pick now?
Are we at whichever you want. You throw a name. Tell me which list you think it hits.
Andrew Thomas, best pick.
There you go. Andrew Thomas, for me, the Giants at four, good job, Hugh, is one of my best picks. You know, when we started this whole draft process before the combine, what did we all say? Andrew Thomas was the best offensive tackle that's going to be available. And then we go through the tape, and we go through the combine, and we go through the analysis, and we go through the interviews, and slowly but surely you see certain guys start to jump him for whatever reason, athletic feats non-human stuff at the combine or whatever it is. And I'm sitting here this whole time, and obviously us here in Atlanta and in SEC country, we've seen Andrew Thomas. And I'm sitting here this whole time, and I'm just like, I get why people think of this guy as a good project, blah, 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 but Andrew Thomas has played tackle on both sides of the line. He's been in the SEC against the best pass rushers in the country, and he's done the best job of any tackle in the conference. I didn't understand why he was being overlooked. And so, Hugh Douglas, you are absolutely correct. I thought Andrew Thomas was a no-brainer to be the number one tackle taken. Over time, a lot of people jumped him, but in the end, he is the top tackle taken. I thought that was a good pick not to fall into the optics of everything else, just using what you know about the performance of the guy on Saturday, how it's going to translate to Sunday. Andrew Thomas, one of my three best draft picks of the first round.
All right, I'll go with the worst one, Jordan Brooks, linebacker to Seattle.
No, you know, there's a lot of stuff towards the back end of the draft, and a couple of these are back end of the draft picks. Yeah, I didn't mind Jordan Brooks. To be honest, I don't know a ton about him. I don't know if that was a reach or not. But I went with, for my worst draft picks, we already mentioned Javon Kill. I went with two guys I thought were major, major reaches. So that's kind of where my mindset was in the worst draft pick. And then for the best draft pick, you nailed Andrew Thomas. I went with two guys that I thought are just really good fits that you got good value for. So I went with good value, good fit for the best draft pick. And guys I thought were the biggest reaches in terms of the worst draft pick.
Well, we only have about a minute left, so you're probably just going to have to fill in the blanks. Otherwise, we're just guessing at names because I can't get inside your brain right now.
Okay, so for worst draft pick, Damon Arnette, a cornerback, went to the Raiders. Is not a name I had seen attached to a team in the first round in pretty much any mock drafts, and there are plenty of good cornerbacks still available. I didn't think he was one of the top cornerbacks out there. I know we had a caller mention Christian Fulton. The guy from Auburn, whose name I'm not even going to try and pronounce. There were a lot of guys I thought were better at corner than Damon Arnette, went to the Raiders. That one got me. Austin Jackson, the offensive tackle for the Dolphins. I don't mind the pick, but you had pick 26. Why are you taking him at 18? It's another guy who was going to be there at 26. Get something better at 18. Those are my three worst draft picks. My three best, Patrick Queen to the Ravens. I mean, a linebacker, and they're just sitting there in the late 20s, just sitting there. And to have that guy fall to your lap in your one position of need, and, you know, how rare is it that by the time you get to 10 or 11 that the best player available is also your position of need? I mean, Patrick Queen fits with the Ravens perfectly. And then Kenneth Murray to the Chargers. I'm a very big fan of his. I know a lot of people at 92.9 were big on him. I think if the Falcons were running a different scheme, he would have been in play for them at the linebacker position. He goes to the Chargers. Great value there for Kenneth Murray in the mid-20s.
Wrap it up, B.
All righty, here we go. 8 o'clock hour. Dabo Swinney at Coach Clemson at 9:20. Coming up, what Wes and Dave had to say about A.J. Terrell. We have that. We'll play it for you as we continue on this day after the first round draft edition of John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.